I wanted to share on a topic this week that kind of links back to something we left off on with the armor of God, but it's something new. But, you know, we talked about the helmet of salvation, how that's a covering for our minds, our hearts, and how the Lord wants us to have that perfect peace as our mind is stayed on Him. But, you know, there's actually something that the Apostle Paul says about the helmet that I wanted to look at. He kind of reveals or links another quality to it. And this is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." And so he's talking about, you know, some aspects of the armor, you know, of what can be a wonderful shield upon our minds and our hearts. And so Paul says, we can put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. And, you know, I want to just speak a little bit on this concept of hope and the connection of hope. And, you know, because there's such power in placing our hope in God, because that is the reality. You know, it's like hope is the connection point with the Lord. And, you know, we've talked many times about the difference between hope and faith. You know, like faith is based on hearing a word from God. That word enters our hearts and it's a substance. It's something we have. But hope is not necessarily based on a specific word. It is based on the word, but it's more based on the one who is the word. And you see the distinction? We can have a word, but yet we go through situations where we don't have a word. Well, what do we have? We have the one who is the word as our source of hope. And so it's not best necessarily based on a word from God, but, you know, hope is what we have when we don't know. When we don't know how to go forward, or we don't know how long, we don't know what to do, we have to turn to hope and hope in God. And, you know, hope in who He is. Hope that He knows what's going on and that He's going to be there with us and He will guide us. And, you know, we're all on a journey of faith, so to speak. You know, we know and we have assurance our destination is a good one. It's heaven. Right? We have a substance in our heart. But also God gives us promises in life. He wants to give us direction and promises that we can go towards. And that's also a substance. And we might know a little bit about the steps we're to take, but, you know, there is a lot of details that God has not filled in, right? And maybe for you have more details. I don't know. But sometimes when I go, I'm like, Lord, can I have a few more details on how's this going to work? How long is this going to last? You know, all of those details we like. You know, I think most of us can remember what it was like to drive before the days of GPS. You kind of have to think back a little bit. But, I mean, honestly, would you even want to go back to not having GPS? I wouldn't. I'm so reliant on it. I love having that little, you know, prompt. It's usually on my phone, but it's up there. It's telling me you're going to turn in 100 feet, 50 feet, 20 feet. Okay, turn right. I like having that. I like knowing that in 1 mile up the road, there's this important connection I got to get. It's like you have that clarity every step of the journey. Of course, back in the day, we didn't have that, did we? You know what we had? A road atlas. Before your trip, you had to open that up and you had to map out all the roads and the interstates and the highways and the things you had to take. And you had to, like, you know, kind of mentally get that journey prepared. And, you know, or maybe even worse, someone gave you directions, right? And so they said, well, turn at the gas station with the green sign, and then turn at there's an old barn on the right. Then you turn at the barn and, you know, as you remember taking those directions, you're like, boy, I just hope I turned at the right street. I hope I took the right turn there. And that's a little nerve-wracking. I hope I took the right road. But, you know, there's a connection there to our journey, is that there are times when God says, you just need to place your hope in me, that I'm leading you in the right way. You know, he wants us to have that point of connection. Now, we enjoy having clarity and enlightenment and understanding perfectly our journey, but God sometimes says, that's not going to help you grow. What will help you grow is when you don't know, but yet you place your hope in me and you go forward. And so he wants to give us that connection of hope, that as we abide in him and he's in us, we know and we believe he won't leave us or forsake us. You know, even though we don't know how long the road is, we don't know when the turn's coming. Or, you know, sometimes we're like, well, what if I miss a turn? What if I miss something or do something wrong? Oh, then it's all over. Well, no, we have a hope that God will show us. He'll tell us if we took a wrong turn, and he'll show us how to get back if we have that connection of hope with him, that in his goodness and mercy, he's going to lead us in a good way. And, you know, and so hope is really one of our main connections to heaven, to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we don't spend enough time talking about heaven or talking about, you know, eternity. I mean, it's the place we're all going to spend a trillion years. And then once a trillion years is fulfilled, we're going to do another trillion. Yeah, it's never ending. And now I realize that's on the other side of that dark glass that Paul talks about, those dark sunglasses that we can't see quite beyond. But heaven and Jesus and the joy of crossing the finish line, and those with like faith who have endured to the end, they've overcome, they're there. And that's the true joy of life, because it's going to be the true joy of our eternity. You know, everything else, when we try and focus on something, the things of this life, you know, that it kind of detracts. And sometimes even tries to kind of snip the little threads of our cord of joy to the Lord when we focus on the present reality, because it changes our focus and it doesn't help our hope in God when we focus just on what we see. But hope is an anchor to the true reality of the kingdom of God. I think that's best depicted in Hebrews 6:19, which says, "And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." And so hope is the anchor. It's the point of connection that keeps us from drifting through life, because it keeps us centered in who God is, in his mercy, in his goodness, in his plan for our lives. And really, hope is powerful. It's so powerful. It's what enables us to persevere. You know, actually, that's something the Apostle Paul brought out in Romans 8:25. Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." You see, if we have an hope as an anchor in our hearts, in our soul, you know, that even is a distinction from our spirit. Our spirit is kind of like our spiritual awareness, but our soul is just our feelings, our emotions, you know, that's where hope is grounded. I'm going to let it be in my heart, what I'm desiring, what I'm longing for. My hope is in God. And so if we hope, oh, we will do so. It'll give us endurance, perseverance. And, you know, that kind of becomes a cycle. When we say, I'm going to hope in God, it allows us to endure and overcome. And then it just kind of builds on itself. It keeps getting stronger. We have more hope. And in fact, we know that from something else Paul says. And this is earlier in Romans 5 and verse 3. "But not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance," right? And so there's that. And then perseverance, character, and character, hope. So in chapter 8, here's hope producing perseverance, but then Paul's saying, but here's perseverance producing hope. And it's like a cycle that builds on itself. The more we hope in God, the stronger we will get to endure and to overcome, to persevere, to grow. And so God wants to give us what we need. And he wants to provide more and more hope as we pass through more and more experiences. Of course, the tribulation doesn't stop either. That kind of comes along too. Sometimes it even gets greater. But yet the hope is there. And that is what grows, because that's really the fruit that God is using. Tribulation is just like the flower bed, you know, that the seeds are planted, but because it produces something beautiful in our lives as we allow God to work. A couple other benefits of hope we could mention is that hope purifies. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, you know, Apostle John says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure." And here's, again, as you know, we see this hope as the connection to eternity, you know, because, you know, when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. Like that's a picture that the Lord is showing us and giving us as a hope. And if we have that hope, oh, we are just going to seek to live a life that is pure and becoming more and more pure and purified. You know, this world is so defiling, but what will make a difference is having a hope in our hearts of seeing Jesus as he is, and that we will be like him, is that we will be transformed into his image. And we also have to remember that work of transformation is not just in heaven. Now we have a transformation into a glorified body and so forth, but there's transformation that can only take place on earth, because there's no tribulation that produces hope in heaven. That's only on earth. And so God wants to produce his beautiful fruit, but yet it will purify us as we hold on to that hope within us. In fact, we're really purified through hoping in God through many situations. And there's another fruit of hope. And actually, I hadn't realized how much the Apostle Paul talks about hope, but it's all over the place with him, you know, where he's sharing. Because there's another verse in Romans. This is in Romans 12. Now, Romans 12 is the living sacrifice chapter. Like, that's how it starts off. "I beseech you, brethren, be a living sacrifice." And so he's talking about, you know, becoming a true priest, or, you know, the marks of it, what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. And he says this in Romans 12 and verse 12. He says that one of those true marks is we are rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulations. Continuing steadfast in prayer. And so we're to rejoice, to have joy in hope. And, you know, of course, joy is much more than a feeling, especially when we're relating it to eternity, right? So it's something eternal, the kingdom of God. And so, but really joy is an act of rejoicing in hope. Joy is an act of rejoicing in hope. Like the psalmist said so often, "I will rejoice." He didn't say, "Oh, I feel like rejoicing." He said, "I will rejoice." Because many times in that same psalm, he's talking about the trouble he's going through, right? The tribulation. And sometimes even in his soul, being cast down, being heavy. But he says, "I will rejoice." And I think most of the time, we will find we are rejoicing in hope. Not because God has given us a word, "I'm getting you out of this. Next Saturday is your day of deliverance." It's nice when he does that. We can really hold on. Wait, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. I just have to hold out for, you know, that many days. But we don't have that very often, do we? But what we do have, we can rejoice in the hope of who God is, that he will be with us, and that there is an appointed day that he knows. Maybe the angels knows too. I don't know. But he knows it's on his calendar for when we will come out, and we will come out purified, strengthened, rejoicing. We'll come out different. And so, you know, that thought of rejoicing in hope, you know, when hope is developed in our lives, it becomes an anchor, a point of connection, and a strength, a source of endurance, a joy set before us that enables us to go through whatever storm in life we face. It's a stronghold that keeps us. And actually, I wanted to show a little picture here I've got. And I thought this is a kind of a good representation of hope when, you know, in the storms. And so we see a picture of here in a lighthouse. It's in a storm, and there's some pretty big waves. And you can tell because that little tiny thing there is a person standing in a doorway. And you would think, how in the world can that be with the power of those waves? But, you know, here's an illustration of how hope can be a stronghold for us, that we can be in the midst of the mightiest storm, but that doesn't matter. This guy is standing in the stronghold. I just like how he's just standing here so nonchalantly. If you could zoom the picture in, you can't do that right now, but you can zoom that in. And he's got his hands in his pockets, just kind of standing there. And the story is that a photographer hired a helicopter in a storm because he wanted to get pictures of this lighthouse. The guy heard it and came out and was just looking up at the helicopter, and this wave is crashing against it. But, you know, he's nice and safe. Although he did, the guy in the lighthouse did say that if he had been much farther out, he would have been in real trouble. So he had to stand in the doorway. But, you know, God is our refuge. He's our help in time of need. We don't always understand it. We don't always have a word about the situation we're going through, although that shouldn't stop us for asking God for a word of direction, of guidance, of illumination. But yet, what we fall back on is he is our refuge. He will keep us in times of need. But I want to talk for a moment here, because just in considering hope is that what happens when we start to lose hope? Right, when we go through situations where I feel my hope is under attack of how this is going to turn out. You know, sometimes the enemy can't attack our faith. He can't move us. We believe in the promises. We believe in heaven. We believe in the word of God and righteousness. So sometimes he turns to the next best thing and he attacks our hope. And he tries to get us to forget about the end of the matter. But to forget of reigning with Christ, he tries to make us think that our future is kind of getting dimmer and dimmer instead of brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You know, Proverbs 13 and verse 12, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. But, you know, the enemy would love to convince us that our hope is not coming, that it's been delayed, it's missed its flight, and it's not going to make it. And, you know, and it's not going to show up. But when we lose hope, we become heartsick. And in the Hebrew, that literally conveys the meaning of becoming weak, diseased, faint, worn down. When we lose our hope, it's like we lose our forward momentum. We can't lift up our head. Or we don't even dare to hope that things are going to change, or, you know, God can do something. But that's something we have to fight against. You know, David experienced this in his wilderness saga. And, you know, Psalm 27 is kind of like almost a commentary on these verses in Proverbs 13. But Psalm 27, 13, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He was going to faint if he didn't have hope that he would see goodness, not in heaven, but in this life, in the situation. It's almost like David was just being worn down and he just felt near that point of giving up. But what kept him, he didn't let go of that cord of hope and belief that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, I've mentioned that phrase, cord of hope, that has a significance because in the original Hebrew, one of the words for hope is actually translated cord. And it's used in the story of Rahab. She hung a scarlet cord or line at her window. And that's the same word for hope. She hung a cord of hope and on her balcony. And that was the sign that Israel would see so that they wouldn't, you know, attack her house. She was safe behind that cord of hope. That was her deliverance. And, you know, so the Lord wants us to have that cord of hope we're holding on to. Sometimes it might just feel like a little thin thing, a little thin cord, a little thread sometimes. But what's important is we lay hold on the hope that is set before us and make it our refuge in the anchor for our soul as we hope in Him. Now, I will say this, just to bring balance, is that it must be proper hope, right? It can't be unrealistic. In fact, I've always remembered a message Pastor Bailey spoke once, and I only really remember the title. I don't know if I took good notes or not, but I've always remembered he preached a message on hope that is based on reality. Hope must be based on reality. Now, hope can't, he didn't mean the reality that we see. You know, it can't be based on the reality that we see with our eyes, because sometimes God wants to do something that takes us beyond that, beyond our strength, our ability. So it's not just what we see, but here's the other thing, or what we want to happen. Hope is not what we want to happen, but our hope must be based on the plan of God for our lives. And so there must be a connection to God's way. And oftentimes it's a cord of surrender. Lord, I'm just going to surrender to what you want to do, to your will. But in doing so, I'm not going to despair. Lord, I'm going to place my hope in you and your plan. I'm going to trust that you're good and you can turn all things for good. And I will do whatever it takes to hold on to that cord of hope. And so there's a great need in life to guard our hope, to guard the anchor of hope. You know, just extending the metaphor a little bit on hope as an anchor. You know, of course, anchors were used on ships. And, you know, sometimes you can read stories of the enemy, you know, or pirates like trying to sneak up on a ship and cut the anchor cord or something like that. You know, but that's where the enemy, if he cuts the anchor cord, then the ship just starts to drift away. But just like a ship can have many anchors, God can renew our joy, our trust, our endurance. He can renew our anchor of hope as we look to Him. And so, you know, guarding our anchor means we lay hold on that cord of hope. And sometimes we have to renew our grip on it. You know, we have to be like, okay, I'm going to have a firmer grip on this. I realize it was a little weak. The enemy was starting to make me slip on it. You know, Hebrews 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Lay hold, take a strong grip on the confession of our hope. You know, it can feel easy when you're in the storm and things aren't going right and it just feels like, you know, everything's in chaos. It can kind of feel easy to fall into that woe is me mindset, you know, where you just want everyone to recognize how difficult it is and how hard things are and, you know, and so forth. But, you know, the only way forward is found in laying hold on the goodness of God. Like it says in Hebrews, that and here's the key. It says it comes from a right confession of hope, that he who promised is faithful. Now, sometimes in doing that, there has to be a letting go, right? If we're holding on to something else, it's hard to have a firm hold on two things at once. You really have to let go of, you know, it could be past hurts or experiences or hardships, but sometimes we just have to let go and look to the one who is the author and the finisher. He begun a good work in us, and we're going to hold on to the fact that if he began it, his name is finisher. He'll finish a good work if we will lay hold upon him. Now, I recognize that all sorts of feelings and thoughts can come in that to make it hard to lay hold on the hope. You know, sometimes we feel like our hope's being eroded because of what we see with our eyes, because of how we, you know, all the turmoil in our hearts. But here's what has to be our reality. And it's based on a verse, I don't have it in there, but it's based on the verse Romans 3 and verse 4, where it says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. And so there's times when we have to look at the situations we're going through, the feelings we're having, the thoughts that are coming in, and we just have to say, nope, God is true and all that is a liar. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to hope in him. He is so much greater than anything that I'm going through, and I'm going to lay hold on that, and I'm going to go forward in that. Now, two more thoughts here just as we close. Of hope, you know, how can we cause hope to grow? You know, we might feel a little short on hope at times. So what do? Well, one of the main sources in Scripture that causes our hope to grow is the Word of God. You know, do we want to sprinkle a little Miracle-Gro on our hope? Well, then we need to meditate on His Word, on His promises. Here's another verse by the Apostle Paul. He knows what he's talking about. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Oh, do we want our hope to grow? The Apostle Paul says, it's through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, of the Word of God working mightily in our hearts. And so when hope starts to erode, or, you know, we start feeling it, we need more of the Word in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And of course, this goes beyond reading. It's making His Word our source of encouragement, our source of life. And because in reality, His Word is our hope, because He is the Word made flesh. And then one last little thought here. You know, because there's a tie between hope and the cry of our heart, of lifting up our voice. And the psalmist says this in Psalm 130 and verse 1. He says, out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Verse 2. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And then he goes on in verse 5. He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. And then verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. You know, the Lord responds to the cry of his people. especially when we're asking for Him exactly what we need to endure and overcome and have that work accomplished that He so longs to do in our lives. And so one of the great keys is just to lift your voice. Lord, here I am. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait for You. I'm not going to look to other things. I'm going to lay hold upon You. But Lord, I need a fresh impartation of hope. I need a fresh work. I need something fresh done in my heart, in my life. I'm lifting up my voice so that I can hope in Your mercy. Because with Him is mercy and abundant redemption. And as it says elsewhere, He takes pleasure in those who hope in His mercy. Oh, let's bring Him pleasure. Amen. And so as we close, you know, I believe the Lord would encourage us not to let go of that cord of hope. Whatever the trial or the delay or the difficulty, keep holding on to Jesus, because when we hold on to Him, we're holding on to hope. And keep crying out to Him. Keep feeding on His Word. Keep your eyes on the Eternal One who will be there to welcome us in. And when we do, we're going to rejoice because we'll see Him as He is, and He will have done an eternal work in us. But yet we have to hold on to hope to keep believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The storms continue for a season, but He'll be our anchor in the midst of the storm. And one day our hope will be realized when we see Him as He is and we are like Him. Amen. Lord, we just look to You. Lord, we thank You that You're the author and You're the finisher of our faith. And Lord, that You've given us that, Lord, precious hope, O God, in our hearts. Lord, as a connection, as a cord that we can be tied to, we can be bound to heaven, Lord, to our soul and our hearts and our spirits, Lord, through this act of rejoicing and hope. Lord, we just look to You. Lord, we're just praying for a fresh impartation, Lord, that You would do a fresh work in our midst, in our hearts. Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon You, to look to You. Lord, not to allow our hope to be eroded. Lord, to let the enemy dissuade us. Lord, that we're on Your pathway and that You want to lead us in a good way. Oh, but Lord, cause, Lord, our hearts to be filled afresh with Your hope. Lord, strengthen us to lay hold upon that hope that You've laid before us. Oh, God. Oh, we just look to You today and we thank You for it. We bless You. Oh, Lord, You are our hope for eternity. We worship You. Amen. Amen. God bless you.